Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
That's it. It's done. The 2019 regular season is finished for the NFL. The dust is still settling. It is officially Black Monday, though the Cleveland Browns got a jump start on what is typically a day where a lot of coaches lose their jobs on the NFL calendar. Freddie Kitchens fired by the Browns brass as soon as the team plane landed in Cleveland on Sunday afternoon. Meanwhile, it took every last game of the NFL regular season to determine the 1, 2, 3, and 5 seeds in the NFC. How about that? That's why Roger Goodell's job is not in jeopardy. Because the NFL, yes, is making money hand over fist, but because it continues to grow in popularity. And he's the guy at the helm. He's the face. He's the voice. He's the CEO for the owners. It's the most popular spectator sport in the United States. The ratings are going up when the ratings are tanking or dropping for every other sport as well as other genres of TV. The NFL defies logic, but that's why we love it. It keeps us guessing. Good to the last drop, baby. The best reality show on TV. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I hope you had a great Christmas, a wonderful Hanukkah. I was off for most of last week, but not resting. The family kept me busy. We had a really good week together, and we had the second round of Family Invasion on Sunday. So I got to watch football and take my notes with my brother and one of my nieces, and they are here through New Year's. So yeah, the Lawrence household is like Grand Central Station, but it's all right. We're hanging in, 3 pets, multiple people, 4 people now. I'm enjoying it, enjoying some time to get away and to catch up with them, enjoying being the hostess, enjoying all the shopping and cooking and baking and, whoa, certainly enjoying the eating. And tonight, because there's no Monday Night Football, we're finally going to see Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. And this is significant for my brother and my mom and I because we watched the originals together. And my brother and I used to play Star Wars in our basement going back to the first trilogy. So this is cool for us to be able to see it together. I've been waiting. It's come out, of course, and I haven't gone to see it on my own. I was waiting for my brother Matthew. And so it was my big Christmas present. We're going to see Star Wars in IMAX. Not 3D. My brother said 2D instead. But we're going on Monday evening, so I can't wait for that. But we watched a lot of football, and we figured out the playoff picture. They let me practice telling them all the different ways the seeds could fall into place. So here's what we know. In the NFC, Niners are the champs of the West and the top seed. Their first trip to the playoffs since 2013. Since the days of Jim Harbaugh. Packers get the 2 seed. They earned themselves a bye in Matt LaFleur's first season. 13 wins, a division title, and a bye. It's just so easy. He makes it look so easy. It's not that easy for all first-time head coaches, as we talked about with Freddie Kitchens. But even Cliff Kingsbury, they're in the middle of a rebuilding project in Arizona. Zach Taylor, the head coach of Cincinnati. It's been a rough road for them, though they did finish with a victory on Sunday. But Matt LaFleur, setting records both for the franchise as well as joining select company in NFL history with this first season and the way they've been able to rack up 13 wins. And I've had people tell me the Packers aren't as good as their record says they are, but I think that's BS. You are exactly what your record says you are. A win is a win is a win is a win. And LaFleur is now tied for the third most wins by a rookie head coach with 13. Jim Caldwell of Indiana had 14 back in 2009. Remember that? That was an incredible first year for him. And then George Seifert with San Francisco had 14 in 1989. Packers are the two seed. We'll have football at Lambeau Field, but not until divisional weekend. The Saints dropped to the three seed, even though they were also 13-3. They did not have the tiebreak with either the Niners or the Packers, so they dropped out of that bye spot. The Eagles win their way in to the postseason on the final weekend, four wins in a row. So they run the table in December. That includes beating the Cowboys, and they lock in their third straight trip to the postseason, their second NFC East title in 3 years. The Seahawks drop all the way down to the five seed, but they're 7-1 on the road this season. They end the year with back-to-back losses, and man, what a dramatic finish in Seattle. Not just to their season, but to the entire NFL campaign. We'll get to that here momentarily. The Vikings were locked in as the sixth seed. They finish at 10-6. So a little bit of luster coming off the Vikings season with the way they finished. And I think that Monday Night Football loss to Green Bay was a punch to the gut. Here is the schedule for the NFC Wild Card weekend. They're both both games are on Sunday. It's kind of odd. It doesn't often happen this way. Typically, we get one AFC and one NFC on Saturday, and the others play on Sunday. But both NFC games are on Sunday. The early start is for the Vikings and the Saints. It'll be noon Central Time at the Superdome. It's followed by the Seahawks at the Eagles. So Vikings at Saints, Seahawks at Eagles next Sunday. In the AFC, the Ravens were already locked in as the number one seed. They did not play a lot of their top flight guys, their starters, on Sunday against the Steelers, but they still won in what was a torrential downpour in Baltimore. My brother drove through there and said not only was the weather crappy, but he could see that it was game day because there was purple everywhere. So Baltimore wins 12 straight games to wrap up the regular season. And this is a really cool stat. A nerd alert, if you will. The Ravens also set the record for most rushing yards as a team in a single season. So they surpassed it was the 1978 Patriots, if I remember correctly. Pretty phenomenal what Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, and the Ravens have been able to do. And I know they got a bye, but critical for them to get rest because they do take a pounding, the physical style of play. They take a pounding. The Ravens as the one seed. The Chiefs as the two seed because the Patriots backed out of that bye. They lost to Miami again, and the Chiefs had the tie break. So with six consecutive wins, Kansas City is the two seed. Patriots are the three. For the first time in a decade, New England will play on Wild Card Weekend. The Texans were almost assured of the four seed, but they've won the AFC South four of the last 5 years. And they have this weird pattern. Have you looked at their record, their schedule this year? The Texans have this weird pattern. Two wins and a loss. 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 I tell you, it's uncanny. If you check out the full schedule for the Texans this year, they actually started out with a loss against the Saints. Then two wins, then a loss, 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 then two wins, and they finished up with a loss to the Texans, or to the Titans, I should say. Isn't that odd?
Poop fest.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, Richard Sherman, but it was a weird pattern and a pattern of inconsistency that consistently frustrated the fans. But a division title is a division title. The Bills were locked in as the five seed. They dropped their last two games, though, including to the Jets on Sunday. The Titans played their way in. Derrick Henry, 211 yards rushing, and the NFL's rushing title, which was wildly celebrated by his Titans on Sunday. As for the AFC playoff schedule, early game on Saturday is Bills at Texans, And that's followed by the Titans and Ryan Tannehill making his playoff debut against the New England Patriots. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. How would you describe the 2019 season just finished up? I saw a bunch of you posting on our Facebook page different plays on the word Lamar or marvelous, which I think is fun. Jason says Lamarvelous. Steven says Lamarvelous. Vincent says simply Lamarvelous. Lamazing and Lamarvelous, that's Dave. So a lot of Ravens fans really excited about what's to come, as you can imagine. First time ever for the Ravens as the one seed with the home field advantage. There was a lot on the line Sunday Night Football. And it was a weird first half in Seattle. The Seahawks go scoreless. Empty on all four possessions. The defense played well, though. The Niners didn't quite find a groove. They did score, but a couple of field goals as opposed to touchdowns. And then the game completely flips on its head in the second half. The teams combined to score touchdowns on five straight drives. So it was a little more offensive action in the second half. And we get down in the final 3 minutes. The Seahawks finally force the Niners into a three and out. They get the ball back, trailing by five. So, of course, needing a touchdown to win. And what do? They string together five first downs. Russell Wilson feeling it. He was in a groove. He was zinging the ball to DK Metcalf in the second half. They were getting runs when they needed them from Travis Homer. Five first downs. They get a first and goal at the one. Quickly have to snap and spike the ball. Okay, so they were out of timeouts at this point. We're about 30 seconds to go. They snap the ball, they spike it. And then they try to make a substitution. Marshawn Lynch, recently signed, tries to get on the field because they want to use him in that second and goal from the one. But in trying to make that transition, they get a delay of game penalty. They spike the ball to stop the clock, and somehow they can't get the Marshawn Lynch substitution done in time, and they get this delay of game penalty that is just frustrating, brutal. Pete Carroll said as much after the game. It was all lined up for us. It was there for the taking, and yet
We had the opportunities. It was there in front of us. It was like a perfect win. It was, to me, it was a perfect way to win the championship. And unfortunately, it just came up short by a couple inches.
He's not referring to the delay of game there. He's referring to what would be the last opportunity for the Seattle Seahawks. And it's not so much about the division title, that's grand. It's about falling all the way to the 5 seed. But, man, they were staring at it for a while.
Fourth down. Here's your game. Here's Russell Wilson back. Wilson throws. Caught. Hollister's hit on the goal line and dropped by Dre Greenlaw. He is short. 49ers come away with the ball. The 49ers have stopped Hollister on the goal line. The 49ers are going to win the game.
Nerve-wracking, anxiety, just every game we've had lately has seemed like it's come down to the last play or two, and this was no different. So defense stepped up huge, though. That was incredible at the end there.
Jimmy Garoppolo once again praising his defense. I know his locker room praises him, and they're thrilled with what he's done this season. And he certainly orchestrated some late drives, some come-from-behind offensive wins. But the defense, with the last big statement for the Niners of the regular season, isn't that fitting? That is one of the stories of the 2019 NFL season, the Niners defense. And it gave Jimmy Garoppolo and the offense a safe place to land. When they had injuries to Matt Breida, to George Kittle, when they had to bring in Emmanuel Sanders, when they had a revolving door of receivers, when Garoppolo would make mistakes, the defense was that anchor. And ultimately, the defense slams the door inches from the goal line in the face of Jacob Hollister. Greg Papa with that call on the Niners radio network. Kyle Shanahan was feeling that same angst that Jimmy Garoppolo was watching the end of the game.
I wanted to wait till I saw on the scoreboard. I saw I didn't get in. Then everyone tried to tackle me, but I knew I was waiting to see how much time was left on the clock because I wanted to take a knee. We would have just taken the safety if there was only one sack, so there was no chance to fumble. But it was a little hectic there at the end, but once the whistle officially blew, it felt very good.
My mom kept asking me, who's that guy in the red hat? I was like, she's like, I know him. I've seen him before. Yeah, probably. He got a lot of camera time in the Super Bowl a few years ago when the Falcons were coughing up that big lead to the Patriots. So here we are. Seahawks fall to the 5. Niners are the top seed in the NFC. We'll see how this plays out, but the NFC has got some teams that I think should and could make this a whole crapshoot. The Saints being a 3 seed, it's like the Patriots as a 3 seed. It's 4 and almost. Bill Belichick said after the game, we don't deserve the bye. Nothing we did on Sunday makes us worthy of that bye, but it's still jarring to see the Patriots play on Wild Card Weekend. So how would you describe this NFL season? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, if you too would like to tweet or post LaMarvelous, and then your calls, 855-212-4227. Black Monday is underway. Freddie Kitchens has been fired. We don't know yet about Jason Garrett or Doug Marrone, but we'll let you hear from Jerry Jones. It's a lot of jobs, a lot of futures hanging in the balance even now. Good morning to you. Happy Monday. Happy New Year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Jones fumbled the snap. Now he's under pressure. The ball is loose. Kicked on the ground. It's inside the 5. The Eagles pounce on it, and they've got it. At the 1 yard line. Fletcher Cox recovered it. Malcolm Jenkins punched it out. And the Giants, who are tied with the Eagles for the most fumbles lost this season, now have the lead.
Game is over. The game is over. The final score, the Eagles 34, the New York Giants 17. The Eagles have won the NFC East for the second time in 3 years, and they have eliminated the Dallas Cowboys.
Here you make the call, not the refs. Light up Amy's phone lines now. 855-212-4CBS.
You get both perspectives. The end of the Eagles-Giants game, it was definitely the elements. Some driving rain at MetLife Stadium. And we got the Daniel Jones and the Saquon Barkley moments and hanging tough. But that last sequence for the Giants offense, when Daniel Jones fumbles, he has an opportunity to pick it up. It gets punched out by Malcolm Jenkins. Then he kicks it toward the goal line, and Fletcher Cox deserved to have the touchdown. No, he didn't quite get in, but for him and the pursuit of that ball, he would not be denied. You hear that call on the Giants radio network with Bob Papa. And then the end of the game and the end of the regular season for the Eagles, Merrill Reese, with the call on the Eagles radio network as they took care of their business. They earned the opportunity to be in the driver's seat by beating Dallas a week ago and by running the table in December. They didn't do this last year just to get into the postseason, but of course last year was Nick Foles. I talk about championship heart and metal a lot. I did it when I was talking about Clemson last hour. Well, the Eagles have that as well. They've survived a ton of injuries. Their top receiver, their top running back, a bunch of their receivers, their top running back. I don't know if you saw the stat that Carson Wentz is the first quarterback ever to pass for more than 4,000 yards in a season, but not have a receiver with at least 500 yards. They just had a ton of injuries. And I know every team deals with that. But you really can't count out this team because of its leadership and experience and because of the character of that locker room. So congratulations to the Eagles for playing their way in yet again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You hear Merrill Reese say at the end of that call, Dallas, the season is over. Dallas has been eliminated. And yeah, it was great. They scored 47 points, but knowing that they were no longer in control, that's a sick feeling.
I don't know if I've ever been disappointed after a win, to be honest, but that was tonight. Unfortunate, very disappointing. I think that's the best word for it, best description for the locker room.
Dak Prescott, 47 points for the Cowboys. He is potentially going to be an unrestricted free agent, similar to Amari Cooper and similar to Jason Garrett, unless there is an amendment or a new contract, something definitive from Jerry Jones. Remember, he's not a guy who has to be fired. Garrett doesn't have a contract for next year. So Jerry Jones could do nothing and Garrett would be a free agent and available for other teams to hire. He's, of course, being very cryptic. And I don't know if this means that Jerry Jones has not made up his mind or has made up his mind and needs to speak to his head coach first. But, man, he certainly uses the D word a lot.
The proper question here is a shareable. Do I have anything that I would share as far as my timetable, my thoughts, any work that I've done, we've done, any work preparing for the future, all of that I wouldn't comment on and share at this time.
Out of respect to Garrett, would you kind of make a quick decision just so he won't be twisting to a certain extent?
Again, I'm not going to comment on anything to do with about those kinds of decisions. I really know that that's the order of things and what we want to hear and talk about if I've got anything to say substance tonight other than my disappointment about not being in the playoffs. But I'm not going to get into that out of respect for everybody, players, and really fans as well.
So Jerry Jones says, the question is it shareable, the information that I've got? So he wouldn't even admit whether he's made up his mind, whether he's leaning, whether he's close, just... we're not talking about it right now. I don't have any information that's shareable out of respect to the franchise, the locker room, as well as the fan base. He did say how much he likes Jason Garrett, but we've heard him say that over and over again. There is really no more fitting term than disappointing for what the Cowboys just did. 8-8 season. I don't care if they finish with a win. This is a team that used up all of its 9 lives and didn't take it seriously. Didn't recognize the sense of urgency until it was too late. Didn't play with that same sense of urgency until it was too late. And never really seemed to be on the same page very long. The offense is doing one thing, defense is doing something else. The offense is playing well, the defense sinks. Sinks and stinks. Or the other way around. Too much talent, all kinds of wasted opportunities. They didn't use what they had. And it certainly seems like it's time for a change. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if Jerry Jones kept Jason Garrett. I wouldn't be. There are a lot of changes on the coaching staff this year. But there's a lot of potential transition for the Cowboys as well. If all of their free agents, potential free agents, are allowed to get to that point, they could have 26 guys who are unrestricted free agents, including some of the big names, plus Jason Garrett. Nothing Jerry Jones does surprises me, really. I do believe, though, that a decade is a long time for a head coach in the NFL, and that a fresh voice, some new leadership, a new direction could be good for this team. Although we don't know how many of these guys will be back themselves. It's different when your head coach has only been in place for a year, like Freddie Kitchens, or 2 years, like Matt Patricia, not long enough to get your system and your personnel together. When you're talking rebuilding and you're constantly changing, all you're doing is taking a sledgehammer to whatever you've built and just hitting the reset button, starting all over again. In the case of the Cowboys, that's not where they are. It wasn't where the Packers were a year ago. They weren't in rebuild mode. The Cowboys are not in rebuild mode. So a fresh voice, new leadership, a commanding presence, although maybe they go the college coach route. I don't know what Jerry's going to do. Nothing that he decides will surprise me. But I understand if it's time for Garrett to get a change of scenery, Garrett to get a fresh start, and the Cowboys to go in a different direction. We'll wait on what is typically termed Black Monday.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
down on one knee, arm extended. Here's the snap, high snap, placement made. Kick to the upright. It is good! It is good! Mason Crosby has done it! A dagger! And the Packers are into no worse than the number 2 seed in the NFC playoffs.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Always nice when you can wrap your season on a win. And of course, the Packers were waiting, as was a good portion of the NFC, to see what happened on Sunday Night Football between the Niners and Seahawks. But as it turned out, because they ended up with a game-winning drive and a Mason Crosby field goal with no time left on the clock, the Packers at 13-3 assured themselves of a bye in Matt LaFleur's first season. What a week for the Packers, right? Winning the NFC North on the road and then coming back. And you can say what you want about their opponent, talking about the fact that it was Detroit Lions, but they were on the road. That's important. And it's a division battle, and those are always huge. And with the Packers, there's, well, with any team, I don't mean necessarily just with the Packers, but with the Packers having just won the North Division title on Monday Night Football, there's always a chance of a letdown as well. But they knew they had the tie break against the Saints, and so once they won, they could finish no worse than the 2 seed. And pretty impressive for them, the way Aaron Jones has played this year. 100 more rushing yards on Sunday. He did not have a touchdown, but he and Derrick Henry both finished with 16 TDs, which is most in the NFL on the ground. And while Rodgers did throw an interception, still able to connect with Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard and even Jimmy Graham making plays. It's been one of those seasons full of growing pains, and yet they've won while they've done it. They haven't been perfect, but they've gotten some big victories. They played well on the road, 6-2 on the road. Remember last year? Not only did they only have 6 wins, but they won a single game on the road. They were awful on the road last year. And so for them, there are a lot of ways that you can measure the progress. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we told you the AFC doubleheader is Saturday. NFC games will take place on Sunday. Looking ahead to the divisional round, this is also kind of interesting symmetry. The 1 seeds will both host on Saturday, January 11th. The 2 seeds will both host on Sunday, January 12th. And so the NFL's already decided the games on Saturday will be at San Francisco and then Baltimore. And weirdly enough, the game in the Bay Area is the early portion of the doubleheader. So the best team in the NFL, the Ravens at 14-2, they will have that primetime Saturday night game. And then the 2 seeds will play on Sunday, the Chiefs first, and then the Packers. And we do not know their opponents yet, of course. How would you describe this NFL season? 855-212-4227, our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. John says on Twitter, predictably unpredictable. After being told last year this is the new NFL with high-scoring passing offenses, we get a season dominated by ball control and defensive teams. I love that. I've made that point this year. I think it's hysterical that we're all thinking, oh, yeah, ratings are going up. High-powered, high-octane, 50 touchdowns, MVP, Patrick Mahomes. Oh, no, this year it was all about the run game and the ball control, and there were more guys who went over 1,000 yards rushing than a year ago. You had just the one quarterback at over 5,000 yards. That was Jameis Winston, but fewer to get over 4,000 yards. The numbers skew back in favor of running the ball and playing defense. And, of course, running the ball means you control the ball so often. I saw this from Adam, this tweet, which he understands. Nerd alerts are the key to my heart. He says the Ravens have not lost since the Orioles have. So in other words, the Orioles have lost more recently than Baltimore Ravens have. That's kind of funny. So again, you can find me on Twitter or Facebook. Vote for Monday MVP, and we'll take your calls too. Kareem is listening in California. Welcome to After Hours.
Thank you, Amy. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to you guys out there. Yeah, I mean, how I can sum up this 100th season is how we say it in the Bay, man, keeping it 100. I mean, there was just a lot of, you know, different ebbs and flows through the season. And, you know, the beauty about the NFL is that unlike the NBA or even MLB, you know, you have two teams, as you spoke of, you know, with the Niners and Green Bay, who had a terrible season last year. And, you know, now they're the 1-2 seeds, especially in the NFC. And, you know, just touching on the Niners, man, what a great way after a couple of weeks ago, you know, losing at the goal line with Julio Jones getting in and barely breaking the plane. And then tonight, you know, Green lost us, you know, next man up, stepping up. You know, we're missing Quan Alexander. He was able to make that goal line stand, and it was just, it wasn't even inches, it was like a half an inch, but, you know, to stop that guy at the goal line. And, you know, for us to start off 8-0 and then end the season with the 5-3 record in the second half, it just shows that the testament to the type of team that we had this year. You know, we had that murderous road, that three-game set with Green Bay, New Orleans, and Baltimore. We was able to get 2 out of 3. So, you know, I'm glad that it's not going through Green Bay, because although we did smack them guys in Santa Clara earlier in the year, you know, they got a huge advantage, you know, in Lambeau Field at this time of year with the snow and everything. So hopefully we can hold serve and, you know, get through these first two games at home. And, you know, I think we're going to see another another rematch of Baltimore and the Niners for the Super Bowl. But my dark horse in the AFC, if I could say, is Kansas City. I think that them guys are the only team out there that maybe can give Baltimore a problem in the AFC Championship game. And, you know, New Orleans maybe can give us a run for our money if we beat them in the NFC. But I'm hoping that Super Bowl 54 will be a rematch between Baltimore and San Francisco. Thanks for the time, Amy. Have a blessed day.
All right, Kareem. Thanks for calling. Happy New Year to you. Kind of a fun personal side note. My first Super Bowl that I covered for CBS Sports Radio was the game between the Niners and Ravens when the lights went out. Remember that? That was the third quarter, right, when they had that big delay because of the power outage. I was only a host here on CBS Sports Radio for a month. We jumped right into the 2013 NFL playoffs. We started January 1st of 2013, and of course, that's what was going on, the NFL postseason. And then about a month after the network launched, we had that weird and memorable Super Bowl. So, man, a lot has happened in the NFL since then. But I love the point that Kareem made about how last year the Niners and Packers weren't in the playoffs. And now they are the 1 and 2 seeds in the NFC. How about that? The Vikings being a third team in the NFC that is a newcomer, so to speak. If you didn't read my column this week, I actually did write a column Thursday night. It was fun to have company. My family was there. They kept telling me to stop procrastinating and write. I did write a column about what I think is the most impressive streak in the NFL. 30 straight years in which at least 4 new teams have made the playoffs that didn't make the postseason year before. How about that? That's another reason why the NFL is so popular. Because there is fresh blood. Because there is constant turnover. Niners, Packers, Vikings, Bills, Titans. 5 teams this year that are returning to the playoffs after time away. Now, the case of the Bills and the Titans, they were just there 2 years ago. But it had been a long stretch of futility before that. Niners in the playoffs for the first time since 2013. For the Packers, it's been 3 years. And they've got a brand new head coach. And yet, I'm not sure this season could have gone a whole lot better under Matt LaFleur.
There'll be plenty of time to reflect after the season. I know what we have in front of us, and it's going to be, it's single elimination from here on out. And I thought, I'm just really proud of our guys, and that's all I can think about at this moment and what we have in front of us. And I know there's a lot that we need to improve upon to get to where we want to be.
Just really cool, right, to have new teams, new faces, new storylines, and yet it's not completely out with the old. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. In the AFC, even though Bills and Titans are returning to the postseason, the division champs are all the same. Competitive, to be sure. Not an easy season for the Kansas City Chiefs. As the 2 seed, though, They had the tiebreak over New England. Remember, they lost to the Patriots in Kansas City in the AFC Championship in overtime 11 months ago. And they lost Pat Mahomes in the middle of the season to that dislocated kneecap. Oh, it's amazing to see him run around now. You would have no idea that he was ever injured and went through that. And they had kind of the fun experience of finding out after they'd taken care of business that the Patriots had lost.
I found out when the fans kind of started going crazy, and then I asked around the sideline, but they kind of kept it away from us so we could focus on the game. Obviously, you want to get that bye to have that week off. And it's basically like winning a playoff game and then getting to play a game at home. So we're excited for that, and we're going to keep building and keep trying to build this momentum and keep it going.
I kind of feel like the Chiefs are flying under the radar, which is odd considering Mahomes is the reigning NFL MVP, 50 touchdowns a year ago. Of course, they hosted the AFC Championship, but there's a lot of attention being paid to the Ravens for good reason and the Patriots, who will not have a bye for the first time in a decade. Instead, Devin McCourty and New England will host a game on Wild Card Weekend.
We got a game next week. We got to get ready to go. Nobody feels sorry for us. We shouldn't feel sorry for ourselves. Our goal is to play in the playoffs. We got a shot next week at all of that. So it's disappointing. We want to play better, want to win today, but we didn't. So we got to move forward and get ready to go.
It's different, but it doesn't mean the Patriots aren't still dangerous. You overlook them or dismiss them at your own peril. Championship heart and metal. You remember before the season started, people were talking about how the Browns were going to challenge the Patriots for supremacy in the AFC. And here we are. They have made another coaching change or another coaching fire. Baker Mayfield with a tough season, 22 touchdowns, 21 interceptions.
Like I said earlier in the week, it's not my call. I know how I'm going to handle the offseason and whatever pieces we have to come back and get those guys ready. I'm going to attack it, and it's going to be a long ride, but a fun one, and I can't wait to get after it.
Not his call about the head coach. I believe that. Certainly he was thrilled, as were a lot of members of the locker room, when they retained Freddie Kitchens. He got a lot of credit for what they did to Surge at the end of last year. But the lack of experience, it caught up with him, and also disciplinary issues and the team kind of playing fast and loose with professionalism. And now here they are having to find another head coach. It'll be the seventh under the Haslams since they bought the team in 2012. Will we have other head coaches join the coaching carousel? We just have found out that Ron Rivera is set to meet with the Redskins on Monday. And so that's about to become a major storyline in this week. I'm not here tonight. I will be back with you New Year's Eve. I'll talk to you then. The dust is settling. Thanks so much for all of your tweets, your Facebook posts, your calls. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.